We're going to move away from the brook tonight. We've been at the brook the last 2 weeks in 1 Kings chapter 17. I preached a sermon the first week by the brook. I preached a sermon last week, Hide Thyself. And tonight, verse 13 is our text verse where Elijah said to this widow lady, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said." Just remind you a little bit about the story before I get to the message. God had sent a message to King Ahab through Elijah. He said, "There's going to be no rain or no dew these years, according to my word." If you go to chapter 18 and look at verse 1, it was 3 years. These years turned into 3 years that there was no rain and no dew. I would remind you, too, that Ahab was one of the most wicked kings that the nation of Israel had. In chapter 16 of 1 Kings, the Bible says, "And Ahab made a grove, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him, and probably all the kings that came after him." His dad was a wicked king, and he was more wicked than his dad. And after Elijah delivered the message that because of Ahab's a sin, because of his wickedness, that there was going to be no rain, no dew upon the earth. You remember that God sent him into hiding. He said, "I want you to go down to the brook Cherith. You'll drink from the brook, and then I'll send ravens every morning and at night, and they'll bring you fresh bread, and they'll bring you flesh to eat." Because it didn't rain, eventually the brook dried up. And I reminded you a couple weeks ago that Elijah might have gotten worried about it, and sometimes we get worried about circumstances that happen in our life, and we forget that God always knows that those circumstances are going to happen, and he always has a plan to take care of us during those circumstances. And God's plan, when the brook dried up for Elijah, was that he go down and spend some time with a widow woman of Zarephath. And when he came into the city, she was gathering sticks. She was gathering fuel for a fire that she was going to build to cook sort of her last meal. Now, I would point out to you tonight, and I'm sure most of you know this because you know how Jesus references story in the New Testament, Zarephath was not a Jewish city. It was not a city where the Jews lived. It was a Gentile city. And this widow lady was not a Jewish widow lady. She was a Gentile lady. And one time when Jesus was preaching, that's recorded over in the New Testament, he reminded the congregation that he stood in front of. He said this, "There were many, many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, but Elijah wasn't sent to any of them. He was sent to a Gentile widow." And you remember the Jews that heard Jesus say this, they got a little angry with him. They picked up stones to stone him, and he just sort of walked through the crowd that day. But Elijah came to this Gentile city, to this Gentile widow, and she was gathering sticks. And he said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." Now, this lady is going to show a lot of faith in just a little bit, but I think she showed a lot of faith when she went to get him a drink. There had been a drought. There had been no rain for 3 years. I mean, the brook where Elijah was dried up, and I'm sure many of the wells in the city dried up because of lack of rain. And so when Elijah said, "Hey, I want you to go get me a drink," nobody had an abundance of water at that time. Water was scarce. And so again, I think she knew that he was a Jew. I think she knew that he was a prophet, a spokesman for God. And so she showed a lot of faith in her obedience when he says, "Hey, would you go get me a drink?" She went to get him a drink of water. And as she was going, Elijah asked her something else. He said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand." While you're getting me a drink, get me something to eat. Get me some bread. And she said, as we read in verse 12, "As the Lord thy God liveth." That's why I think she knew he was a prophet of God. He says, "As your God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse, and behold, I am gathering these two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." I would submit to you tonight that what the woman was going through was a scary time in her life. Her husband had died. We don't know how long he had been dead, simply that she was a widow. She had a child, a son, that she was responsible to take care of. There was no rain. And because there was no rain, there's probably no crops. Back in those days, a widow supported herself by going into the field and gleaning after the reapers. And again, we're going to study Ruth. That's what she did in the story that we read in the Bible. But there was no crops to glean from. There was no crops to reap, and so there was no crops to glean. And if you were a widow in the time of drought, you were in a tight situation because you really did not have a way to provide for your family. You did not have a way to feed yourself, and if you had any children, your children. So it was a time when it was a scary time for her. It was a time when she lost hope. I mean, you can tell that in what she said to Elijah. "Hey, I'm down to a little bit of meal. I'm down to a little bit of oil. I'm gathering a couple sticks. I'm gonna build a fire. I'm gonna use the meal and oil that I have. I'm gonna make enough. We have enough to make a couple of cakes. My son and I are gonna eat them, and then we're gonna die." And it's not like they were gonna die because they were gonna take their life quickly. When somebody starves to death, it's a process, a long process, a painful process. You just get hungrier and hungrier and hungrier, and then parts of your body begins to shut down. Your vital organs begin to shut down because they don't have any sustenance. And so she says, hey, I'd like to bring you a cake. I'll get you the water, and I'd like to bring you a cake, but I don't have one. All I have is enough for one last cake for my son and I. I'm going to bake it, we're going to eat it, and then we're going to die. It's terrible enough to starve to death yourself, but I can only imagine what it would be like to watch one of your kids starve to death, to watch one of your children starve to death. It's something no parent should have to endure. And yet this lady said, "That's what's going to happen to us. There's nothing that I can do to make a living. There's no crops to glean. I absolutely have no hope. I know that we're going to die. We're going to starve to death, and we're going to die." Now, I would submit to you, there are people in this room tonight that can, in a way, identify with this lady. Because there are people in this room tonight that are, some of you are going through a scary time. You're going through a time where you have got a diagnosis from the doctor that doesn't look good. Or somebody you love has got a diagnosis from the doctor that doesn't look good. There are people in this room tonight that are going through financial difficulties. They've lost their job. Some of them don't know where their next meal is coming from. There are some in this room tonight that are going through a scary time because of a situation their child is in. Or, in fact, I talked to a mother, and I won't name any names, but I talked to a mother last week. She said, "Preacher, I need you to pray for my family and I. My son told me today he's an atheist, a teenager, teenage boy. Told his mom he was an atheist, didn't believe in God. A Sunday school boy, a boy that has grown up in church. A boy that his mom and dad has brought him to church just about every Sunday he's been alive. Told his mom he was an atheist. There's some here tonight that have a heartbreak with a grandchild. Their grandchild has done something, tried something. They've asked me to pray with them about a grandchild. And in many of these situations, we're like this lady. We don't know what we're going to do next. We began to lose hope. It's a scary time that we're going through. I mean, there were things in this lady's life that was happening that she had no control over. Wasn't her fault that there was a drought. Wasn't her fault there was no crops. Wasn't there her fault. I mean, she was willing to go work. She was willing to glean. She was willing to do what widows did to earn a living back in that day to provide for their families, but she couldn't. Circumstances prevented it. It wasn't her fault. I mean, circumstances had come into her life and again caused her to lose hope and say, we're gonna die. There's nothing that I can do to take care of myself or take care of my son. And there are things happening in our lives in the same manner. We have no control over them. We didn't ask for them. We didn't do anything to deserve it. And there are things that just come into our life, circumstances that come into our life that are scary, that come into our life that causes us sometimes to lose hope. Tonight, I want you to look at what Elijah told this lady to do. I mean, he heard what she said. I've just got a little bit of meal. I've got a little bit of oil. I'm going to cook it. I'm going to make a couple cakes for my son tonight, and we're going to die. I want you to notice what he told her to do in verse 13. And I submit to you tonight that we'd be wise to listen to what he said. Because what he told the lady to do is what we need to do when those times come in our life, when circumstances pour down on us, when things happen in our life that we cannot control, that cause us to hurt, that cause us to fear, and sometimes that fear paralyzes us, and we just want to sit down like this lady did and, you know, have one last meal and say, okay, God, I'm ready to die. I give up. I don't know what to do next. I don't know how to pray. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do to get help. I just don't know, and I'm afraid, and I'm just going to sit down and die. And here's what Elijah told her. Three things. He said, first of all, fear not. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be frightened. Don't be terrified. My God is going to take care of us. He's already told me. And again, it's one of these situations where Elijah couldn't explain how God was going to do it. It had never been done before. He had never seen it done before. But he says, my God has already told me that the barrel of meal is not going to waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. I don't know how he's going to do it. But we're going to have enough meal and we're going to have enough oil that we're going to be able to eat every single day until it starts raining, until the Lord sends rain upon the earth. Now, again, Elijah, I mean, this is early in the story. I mean, we meet Elijah for the first time in the first part of 17. I don't know how much experience that he had in his life at this point to know that God kept his promises. I don't know if he had been in a test yet where God had proved to this prophet that he keeps everything that he says he was going to do. But Elijah, and again, and I know that, you know, Elijah, I'm a numbers guy, and when Elisha asked for a double portion of the power that was on Elijah, I've always tried to count, and I counted that Elijah did eight things that you could sort of count as a miracle, and Elisha did 16 of them, the double portion. The last one was after he died, and they cast that dead body in his grave, and he brought that guy back to life after he was dead to get the number 16. But I don't think Elijah had done any of those things yet. I mean, he hadn't worked any of the miracles that we read about in the Bible. His faith was still growing. And yet he's told this lady, don't be afraid. Fear not. My God has promised me that we're going to have enough meal and oil to eat the rest of the drought, and my God keeps his promises. He says, and I don't know if he said this, but I think he might have said something like this. If I was him, I would have said it. I've been down at the brook. He promised me that I would drink from the brook, and the ravens would come every morning and every night with bread and flesh. He said, I want to tell you something. They were there every morning and every night. I did not miss a meal. They brought bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and they did it every single day. I did not miss a meal. And again, I told you a couple weeks ago, I don't think these vultures brought raw meat. I think they flew into Ahab's kitchen and took it right out of the king's kitchen. It was cooked and it was good. It was just like Elijah liked it. And he told this woman, I've been down at the brook. I've been drinking from the brook. I've been eating the food that the ravens have brought. And I tell you from my experience, my God keeps his promises. My God keeps his promises. And so some of us are going through some scary times. We're going through some frightening times because of things that are happening in our lives, things that are happening in the lives of the people that we love. And again, as Brother Darwin saying, we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. We don't. But we know who does. It may be a secret to us, but God knows what tomorrow's going to bring. He knows what's going to happen in the situations that we're worried about. And I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know how he's going to do it. But I will tell you tonight that he will take care of it. He'll take care of it. Now, again, I'm not saying that tonight, I don't want you to walk away and say, well, the preacher says God's going to make everything just the way I want it. That's not what I'm saying. As Brother Jack testified a moment ago, sometimes the healing that comes is for a loved one to go to heaven. And they are completely healed when they walk into the presence of God. And so I don't know what God's going to do. I don't know how he's going to work in the situation. But I know this, because I've been down at the brook too. I've drunk from that brook. I've ate at God's table when he's taking care of me. And I can tell you from my experience tonight, we have a God that will take care of us. We have a God that will meet our need. Philippians 4:19 is still true in 2014. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If we could look into his pantry, if we could look into his refrigerator, we wouldn't worry. They are chock full. And if he runs out of stuff in the freezer, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the wealth in every mine. He has enough resources to meet every need. And I'll remind you tonight that most of you, and I'll say it in a way that fits in with the context of my sermon, most of you have been at the brook at different times in your life. Most of you have been there and drunk from that brook. Most of you have been there and been fed by the ravens, and you didn't miss a meal because God was faithful to keep his promise and take care of you. And if I gave you an opportunity tonight, most of you could stand and say, you're right, preacher, you're right. Our God is good, just like Sue testified a moment ago. Our God is good. He keeps every promise he's ever made. He promised to take care of me. He's never failed me yet. He'll take care of us as we go through these scary times. Money's been short before. Doctors have given us diagnoses before. We've been unemployed before. We've had financial problems before. And God has proven himself over and over and over and over. He's never let us down. And he's not going to start now. So Elijah said, fear not. Fear not. Because my God's going to take care of us. And then he said, go and do. Go ahead and do, go ahead and do what you were going to do. Go ahead and gather some sticks. Go ahead and make that little, use the oil and use the meal to make a cake for you and your son. Now again, he's going to add something to that in just a minute, but I want to save that for my next point. But he says, just go ahead and do what you were planning on doing. Go ahead and finish gathering the sticks. Go ahead and go in and start the fire. Go ahead and scrape the oil out of the meal out of the bottom of the barrel. Go ahead and pour the oil out of the cruse. Go ahead and do what you were going to do. Sometimes our fears, as I mentioned a moment ago, cause us to just sit down and lose hope. Sometimes our fears paralyze us. And Elijah would say to us tonight, don't be afraid. Just go ahead and keep doing what you need to do. He would say if he were here tonight, hey, I know what you're going through, but don't worry. Just get up tomorrow and go to work. Just get up tomorrow and if you were going to the senior center tomorrow, just get up and go to the senior center tomorrow. If you have a job and you have to go to work, get up and go to work. If you go to school, get up and go to school. If you go, if you were going to a buffet for breakfast in the morning, go ahead and go to the buffet for breakfast in the morning. If you were going to do something fun tomorrow, just go ahead and do it. If you're going to go to the doctor tomorrow, just go ahead and do it. Whatever you had planned, whatever you had scheduled, just don't change it. Don't get paralyzed by fear. Don't just sit down and give up. Just go ahead and keep doing what you were going to do. Don't sit down and have a pity party. Don't sit down and get discouraged. Don't sit down and give up hope. The Bible says, cast all your cares upon him because he careth for you. Give it to God. Don't worry about it. Don't fret. Don't let fear paralyze you. Go and do what you do, that the things that make up your life. Don't stop. Don't quit. Don't give up. Keep going. That's what he's telling this lady. Yeah, just keep going and do what you had planned to do. And that's what he tell us. Don't just because you're going through this scary time, just because you're going through these circumstances you can't understand. And I know some of you have been going through them for a year now. And it's a struggle just to do what you normally do. But Elijah would say to us tonight, don't quit what you normally do. Don't just sit down and feel sorry for yourself. Don't just sit down and let fear paralyze you. Keep doing what you had planned to do, what you do, the things that make up your life. And then he said this. Go ahead and make your two cakes, one for you and one for your son. But make me thereof a little cake first. Now we might read this and say, man, what a selfish preacher this guy was. She only had enough to make two cakes, and he wanted the first one. What he was saying, what he was telling to this lady, he said, now look, I've already told you that God's promised me the meal's not going to run out, and the oil's not going to run out. I want you to make me a cake first as a sign that you're trusting God. As a way to show God, hey, I believe your promise. I'm willing to make this old preacher a cake first because I believe him when he said that you're going to make the meal, that the meal's not going to waste and the oil's not going to run out until it rains again. I believe you when you say that. And what Elijah was asking her to do was take a step of faith. Yeah, go ahead and make your cakes, but make mine first. And trust God that he'll put enough meal in the barrel and enough oil in the crew so that you can make one for you and your son after you make mine. Show God that you believe him. Show God that you have faith. He will keep his promises. Show God that you're going to leave it up to him. And again, here was a lady that was getting ready to have the Last Supper for her and her son. They were going to eat it and then they were going to die. And here comes this preacher who says, oh, no, you're not. God's going to take care of us. And to show that you believe him, just go ahead and make me a little cake first. And he would say the same thing to us. He would say, you just need to trust God. You need to take a step of faith. And you say, well, preacher, how can I do that? Well, let me just tell you. Let me give you some examples. You feel terrible. It's a struggle just to get up in the morning and go through the day. You know what a step of faith would be? To find somebody else that's feeling bad and go and visit them. Just go over. Make them some cookies. Make them. And I'm not giving anybody my banana pudding. I know some of you saw me. Frida brought me in a banana pudding. And I'm a selfish preacher. I'm not going to share it with anybody, Brother Laurel. So don't. My car is locked. But find somebody that feels as bad or worse than you do. I know. It's a struggle for you to just get up. I know it's a struggle for you to do anything. But here's a step of faith. Here's a step of faith. Go visit somebody that feels just as bad or worse than you do. Take them some cookies. And just go visit them and cheer them up. Try to cheer them up. By that, you're saying, God, I believe you're going to take care of me. And again, I don't know how God's going to do it. I don't know how he multiplied the meal and the oil. I mean, I don't know if the barrel filled up all the way or just gave him enough day by day. I think he sort of gave him enough day by day so they keep trusting him. If he filled up the barrel, pretty soon they wouldn't trust him. So just day by day, he gave them what they need. That's what God will do for us. He won't take away our problems completely. If he took away our problems completely, we wouldn't know what it was to trust him. We wouldn't know what it was to lean on him, like that song we sang this morning, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. He keeps us, sometimes he keeps us poor and he keeps us hurt and he keeps us in the middle of circumstances. So we'll remember to lean on him. So we'll remember to trust him. So take a step of faith. Find somebody. I know you feel bad, but find somebody that feels bad. Go visit them. You may have it tough financially. Take a step of faith. Find somebody else that's having it tough financially. And give them some money. Say, preacher, I can't afford it. Do you trust God or not? There's other people struggling that same way. They might need help. A step of faith would be, okay, I don't know where I'm going to get my next dollar, but the one I got in my pocket, I'm going to give to somebody else. I'm going to show God that I trust him. And I could go on and give you other examples, but listen. Here's what happened. Let me be Paul Harvey and tell you the rest of the story. The Bible says in verse 15, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. I've often wondered what that phrase means, her house. I know she had a son, but I wonder as she trusted God and saw the meal multiply and the oil multiply, I'm sure she had relatives that were hurting just as much as she did. I wonder if she called her sister and said, hey, come over and eat with us. I don't know where it's coming from, but we'll have enough bread for everybody. I wonder if she called her brother or somebody else in her family and said, hey, just come over. Because the Bible says that she did what Elijah said, and she and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. We have a God that knows what's going on in our lives. We have a God that knows the circumstances. And we have a God that will take care of us. And again, I don't want anybody to leave tonight and say, hey, preacher said God's going to make everything peaches and cream. That's not how he works, and you know that just as well as I do. But we have a God that in the middle of circumstances will be there with us. And he'll give us wisdom. He'll give us strength. He'll give us peace. He'll give us everything that we need. He'll supply all our needs. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for stories like this that remind us the kind of God that you are. Help us to not fear. Help us to keep on going. Help us to step out in faith and trust you. Father, I pray if there's somebody here tonight that's never taken the first step of faith, they've never asked Jesus to be their Savior, I pray tonight, Holy Spirit, that you've dealt with them, that you've convicted them of their sin, you've shown them there's a penalty for that sin, and you've shown them the price that was paid, that Jesus paid on Calvary for their sin. And I pray, Father, that as the Holy Spirit has spoken to them tonight, that they see the need to receive Christ, and they would do it now. Most, if not all of us tonight, are Christians. And Father, I pray for those that are going through the tough times, the scary times. Help us to listen to what we've heard tonight and do it. Just bless this time of invitation. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen.